And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Malarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn. It's an Ask the Veterinarian Day today. We'll give you our phone number. We'll be opening up the phone lines here very shortly. 283-2525 is the number, 283-2525. And we are most happy to welcome back local veterinarian Dr. Dennis Damon from Suburban Animal Clinic. Dr. Damon, it's good to see you. It's great to have you back with us.
I'm glad to be here, truthfully.
I know you've been overcoming some very serious health problems. Many of our listeners would be aware of that, and they want to know how you're doing. Boy, you're looking good. You're looking a lot better than the last time I saw you.
We're progressing. They say it takes a year to come back from something like that, and I thought, a couple months, because I generally have had other surgeries, and I'm always within 3 or 4 days coming back to my normal self. But This just took the wind out of the sails to a certain degree.
Well, I'm sure glad that you're doing better, and I'm sure glad that you're back with us today. It's good to see you.
Well, thank you.
I want to talk about a couple of things. And again, listeners, if you have questions, concerns about your pet, feel free to give us a call at 283-2525. I have already had first-hand, second-hand reports from people who have been out in the backyard, out in the field, out in the woods, saying that ticks are horrible already this year in our area.
And that is true. It's even coming across the veterinarian's laps, too, because people come in and they say, are the ticks worse this year? And it inclines that our tick population is gaining on us simply because we're not receiving as much cold weather as we have in the past. And by that, I mean the ground soil has to freeze between 3 and 4 inches down in order to get a kill rate in any tick population or insect population. And for the last 20 years, that's been declining in this area. Mm-hmm. We get cold weather, but the ground doesn't freeze.
It's got to freeze down 4 inches, you say?
Yeah, approximately.
Do ticks, do they lay their eggs in the fall, or do the animals themselves go down on the ground and then lay eggs when they come out in
the spring? Well, the ticks lay all year round.
Oh, okay.
But the instar stages, which there's generally 3 instar stages to a tick, and those, whatever stage they're in, if they're in the adult stage, they'll die going through a winter. Mm. But the instars stages and things, they are viable, and they're very resilient to weather unless it freezes. And if they do freeze, it will kill the tick population.
So they're also very tiny, I understand, at that stage.
They're about the size of a period at the end of a sentence in your newspaper is what the size of them are.
Can they do damage when they're that small, when it's in that stage of development?
No, they can't. The third instar stage that actually starts to suck blood will do damage to animals. So you sometimes can have your animal come down with some sort of tick-borne disease, something like Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, ehrlichiosis, those types of diseases, and you not to know anything about a tick that's been on your dog, simply because when they walk in the grass and things, they can get in between the webs of the feet and bite, and you never even knew that there was a tick there.
Yeah. Well, they're hard to see anyway, even when they're in the adult stage.
Mm-hmm. Unless they swell up. The female swells up. The male doesn't. Mm-hmm. And she becomes blood-borne. And then that blood that's in her body generally will take care of about 5,000 to 7,000 little tick babies in that little tick. So, yeah, they're jam-packed in there.
And it's when the females are sucking blood out of you or a pet that's when they're
most infective.
Spreading the
disease,
Lyme's or, mm-hmm. or whatever other. There are other tick-borne illnesses. We hear most about Lyme disease.
Right. And there's new ones coming in.
Really?
Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, that used to be in Texas and areas, now is coming into our area simply because of imports of products and things. They come in on cases and things that are stored out in yards of facilities, warehouses and things, and then birds sort of gather in those areas, and then the ticks get on those areas, and then the birds fly, and then the ticks drop off the birds, and that's how things are spread.
Tick-borne illnesses can be very serious for pets, right? Especially dogs.
Yep, very much so. Lyme's disease can cause anything from anemias to arthritis. If it gets into the joints area, sometimes dogs can go off their appetite, and it's not a common thing, but you know, a dog off its appetite, but looks healthy in all other regards. You don't think of Lyme's disease. You think of other things that you check out, but you could miss it if you don't check for Lyme's.
Let's start taking calls. It's Ask the Veterinarian today. If you have questions, comments, do feel free to join us. I thought we had a call there, but I guess not. Person hung up anyway. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Whenever a person, a human, gets bitten by a tick that's infected with the Lyme disease, you get the
rash.
Bullseye. And the bullseye, a red target-like circle around the bite. Do you see that in dogs as well, or no?
No. They react differently, although there are some bites of insects that when you look at them, they have the bite where the bite actually happened, and then a reaction which creates a round circle about a half inch out from that bite wound, and that's the reactionary field that happened. But we don't get like the bullseye lesion that occurs on people.
How in the heck? I don't have a dog, but you know, you hear these cautions that, you know, when you bring your dog in, check them very carefully for ticks. How would you ever look everywhere? My goodness,
you can't. What you do is you go into the general areas like neck, head, because dogs stick their heads in, ticks generally are from the neck area up to the nose, so you check all those areas. Sometimes you'll find ticks on the body, generally not so much of a high risk area on the body trunk itself, and then you also check underneath the axillary areas or armpit areas of animals, and the groin area is a very favorite area because sometimes they go through tall weeds, and those are the areas that are with the ticks on the leaf surface.
Do you check with do you use like a fine-tooth comb or just your fingers?
Well, you can use a fine-tooth comb and observation as far as sight.
How soon do you have to get a tick off your dog before it could possibly cause harm?
Generally speaking, if you check your dog just outwardly, sight-wise, on a day-to-day basis, you probably can feel very comfortably that your dog hasn't doesn't have a tick, although the NSTAR stages are the dot at the period of the end of a sentence, you're going to miss those. Mm-hmm. But as far as adult ticks, if you just your dog was out today for in the yard for, say, an hour and a half, well, you should spend a little time, go over him and make sure that there wasn't any little bumps and things on him that look like a tick.
They have these things you can get at the drugstore for removing ticks mm-hmm. from humans. It's kind of it's not a tweezer thing, but it's something like that. Okay.
Yeah, it goes all right underneath them. And
It's, would those be okay to use on your
you
dog?
You could, or? Except the fact that hair's in the way, mostly on animals, so those things don't, unless you get the ones that look like a nail pour, and you can go on underneath them and things. But generally, the best way to do it is you get a tweezer, and you go, instead of tweezing it like you do, you want to lay flat and parallel to the head of the tick.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you just gently roll that tweezer in order to try to get the head to come out as much as possible. You're never going to get all the head, but you're going to get a majority of it.
283-2525 is our number. It's Ask the Veterinarian. Let's go to the phones here. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Dennis Damon.
Hi, Dave and Dr. Damon. Damon, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
How effective are these flea and tick collars?
Well, I can only vouch for one, and Seresta flea collars are probably the best that I've ever seen that have come out in the marketplace. I initially, when they first came out, I gave them to a bunch of beagle guys that always came into my practice and wanted some sort of tick prevention. And I said, well, wear this, and this would be the best thing for your dogs. And I said, I'm going to tell you what. I said, it's just new, and I'm going to give you 10 collars to put on your ticks, put on your beagles. It's up to you to report to me what kind of results you get with those. And at the end of the year, or 6 weeks after they had got those collars, they all, I couldn't believe it, they all came in and wanted to buy us another collar mm-hmm. for next year, because they said they've never, ever gone into the woods and had a tick-free dog, and when they put these collars on, they went into the woods and none of their dogs had ticks on them.
Seresta, is that the name of that?
Seresta.
Seresta?
Yeah. Now,
okay.
You got to watch, because now the counterfeiters have the ability to produce the box and produce the collar, but there's a couple discrepancies that can't be produced that the company that makes these, which is Bayer, they put those in to make sure that there wouldn't be any counterfeits. And there are counterfeits out there on the marketplace. They duplicate everything very well, to the point that the collar looks like the same, the box looks like the same from the outside, but when you open it up, there's a distinct difference on the inside of the box versus Bayer's box. So you got to be careful in the sense that not all Seresta collars are Bayer produced.
Okay.
But that would be the one, if I had to say, a good tick collar, as long as your dog doesn't have a reaction to it, a skin problem, or anything, which is always the possibility with anything that comes in contact with the skin, that would be your best bet for a convenient 8-month protection for your dog. There are some other products out there, topicals and things, that work just as well, too, but that would be my selection.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the question. It's a good question. So I didn't realize that callers like that could be good for up to 8 months.
Yep.
That's terrific.
Yeah, they've got certain products that can get into the dog's stream and things and not affect it, supposedly. I've never seen anything outcomes, and those callers have been out for about probably 7 or 8 years now.
Mm-hmm. Now, you can also get a shot for your dog, can't you, against Lyme disease, like a vaccination
something? Yes, you can. Once you know that your dog is negative for Lyme's, you can get a Lyme shot that injects the sort of the organism that the body builds up a tolerance against, so that if your dog gets exposed, he has a defense against that bug.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing you have to do is get a test to make sure your dog doesn't have Lyme's to
right.
begin with.
Right.
And then you can get this vaccinated. Do you have to do that every year?
You get two the initial year and then one each year thereafter, yes. It has to be repeated in order to keep things going good.
Is it really expensive?
No, not. For what the disease causes, it's really not that expensive. I think they run between $21 to $25.
So if you're a dog owner and you're concerned about this, you could just ask your veterinarian for
right.
a Lyme protection,
shot. You would like to have it tested, and then if he qualifies to get him vaccinated against it.
What happens to a dog if your dog does come down with Lyme disease?
Then you treat for Lyme disease, and you get a titer done on him. And the titer suggests how bad your dog is into the disease process.
Is that like a type of blood test or
yes.
something?
Yes. In other words, you've checked your dog, and he's positive for Lyme's. So then there's a test that's test for a titer. It's called a Quant-C test. And if he comes back and he's in the low double digits, say 10 to 30 is normal,
mm-hmm.
your body's in control of the situation. If he's above that, then you want to treat him with a drug, either doxycycline or ampicillin, and retest the titer and make sure that the titer has fallen, then he can be vaccinated.
Okay. Unfortunately, there's no vaccine for humans yet to protect us against.
There is, but there's been some complications to it, and so there's nothing still out there that has been approved yet.
It's a real concern for people. It's everybody, not just, well, certainly parents who have young kids
mm-hmm.
who like to play out anybody in the yard.
Anybody that's outside is vulnerable.
Yeah.
That means in your yard as well as people that go into the woods, take a trip up to Moraine, nice little weekend picnicking and things.
Camping at Cook Forest.
Yep. Yeah. And you can get yourself exposed.
Hmm. Well, it's a horrible scourge that we didn't have to deal with until probably the past decade is when it really
right.
became widespread here. One would hope that there is a natural predator that develops, like, you know, we had that gypsy moth problem 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess there was there's a wasp now that eats gypsy moths, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's why we don't
lays their eggs within the gypsy moth.
Yeah, yeah.
It kills the gypsy moth.
Still some gypsy moth problems in, I think, in north central Pennsylvania, but around here, it's totally disappeared.
Right.
From what do you think of what it was 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
People were wrapping all their trees with that sticky cloth and everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll get a natural predator.
I hope.
In the meantime, generally speaking, all other things being equal, would you recommend that dog owners get the test and then get a shot?
Absolutely. My dogs are tested every year because they go up to my camp and along the Allegheny. They're actually my test victims, too, for some of the products that I carry because we use them on them to see if they really work as well as they're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, none of the products has ended up harming them, or and they've actually prevented them from getting Lyme disease themselves.
It's Ask the Veterinarian today. Dr. Dennis Damon is with us. His practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic. It's on Route 8 south of Butler, right at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive, about 5 miles south of Butler, Suburban Animal Clinic. We'll take a break and come back with more here on the Tuesday edition of It's Your Turn in a moment. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What a convenience when you have items to be shipped. You just take them to Going Postal Butler. They'll package them up safely and ship them for you. It is a real convenience. You can ship in a variety of ways. That's your choice. U.S. Postal Service, they're good. UPS, they're good. FedEx, they're good. Your choice. Going Postal Butler will ship it out the way you want. They also have other services, too. Copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have an official notary. Open Monday through Friday. Where are they? Just off Newcastle Road. Here in Butler, they're in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex, which is right directly behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants on Newcastle Road. Call Going Postal Butler for more information, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Are you experiencing chronic shoulder pain and want to learn more about possible solutions? Then join Dr. Robert Waltrip of Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers on Thursday, April 25th at 5:30 p.m. inside the Butler Memorial Hospital for a free program on understanding and addressing chronic shoulder pain. Refreshments will be provided, but seating is limited. To register, call 412-367-5812, extension 186. That's 412-367-5814, extension 186 by April 18th, and learn more at TriRiversMSK.com. Michael's Restaurant is now open for breakfast at 7 a.m. Join them for breakfast any day of the week, including Sundays after church. Michael's also offers great Sunday dinner specials, stuffed chicken breast, stuffed pork chops, lasagna, and more. This Sunday, come enjoy a traditional Easter dinner with ham and scalloped potatoes between 11:30 and 7 p.m.
Welcome back. It's Ask the Veterinarian here on the It's Your Turn program today. Dennis Damon, veterinarian, is with us, and our phone number, if you have questions, comments about if you're worried about your pet's illness or pet behavior or proper nutrition for your pet, we'll take any of those questions. 283-2525, 283-2525. Since the last time we chatted, Dr. Damon, the Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show has come and gone. And for the first time in a long time that I can remember, the best of show dog was a dog that I knew what it was. It was a fox terrier, a little dog. It's one of those dogs that looks like they have a beard, like mutton chops or something mutton like chops. That. They're cute little dogs, aren't they? Yeah. Let's take another call. 283-2525 is our number. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Yeah, so I was wanted to ask a question about the ticks. I've heard that the guinea hens will eat the ticks in your backyard.
Absolutely.
Is that true, chickens, or is that just a wives' tale?
Chicken and guineas. Good tick prevention. If you can keep them on your property and keep the foxes and the raccoons from invading them and sometimes eating them, you have to provide them with good positive shelter and things. But yeah, one of my best friends has a flock of five guineas, and on her property she's never had a tick. So and they have 3 acres. So I would say she's got a bunch of chickens and guineas, and that they are well worth their weight in gold as far as preventing ticks.
How about that? Wow, I never heard that before. Hmm. Thanks, caller. Where'd you hear that? Where'd you get that information? Somebody told you or what?
Well, when I was a kid, the neighbor lady had a farm there, and they had guineas, and I used to say how ugly they were and how noisy they were, and she says they keep all the ticks and other bugs away. So,
Son of a gun.
And I mean, must have been about 14 when I heard her, where she told me that.
Well, Dr. Damon says it's true. They work.
Yep. If you've got the property things, I would suggest you at least look into it.
I may have to get some then.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call. Good question. Thanks a lot. 283-2525 is the number. 283-2525. So I guess there is at least one natural predator.
Yep, there is. The only problem that they have with guineas is you have to have cooperating people as neighbors. If they don't like birds coming into your property and things, of course, most of the time they will stay within a certain perimeter of the pen or the hatching coop and things. But occasionally they can, a few of them do wander, and
Can guinea birds fly?
Yeah, they can. But they seem to stay around because I know my friend does nothing to cause deflighting of them and things.
Does she have them fenced in?
No. Wow. They just wander on her property. And then they
eat ticks, huh?
They eat ticks, and she puts them up at night in a hen house.
Well, good question, caller. Phone number is 283-2525, 283-2525. I have to mention something this time of year, sorry to have to bring it up, but it's been a problem for a long time. Well-meaning adults, well-meaning parents, getting a pet chick or a pet duckling for their kids as an Easter thing, you know, an Easter basket thing. Not a good idea from what I understand, Dr. Damon.
No, it really isn't because they end up not being fed right. And most of them, and I say most of them, about 65% of them die. So that's a pretty good huge amount of animals dying that are bought
from
during Easter
lack
time.
Of care or disease. Or?
Well, they get them and then they try to feed cheap foods, bread and chicken grit and maybe some ground up corn. And sometimes these chicks get bound up because of the breads and things that they feed, and then they can't handle it. The starchy foods, which is generally you don't want to feed them, but some people do.
And then they die.
They die.
Well, I can remember one time, this happened in my family. I had a younger sister, several years younger than me, and she got a couple of baby chicks, you know, like for an Easter thing, and I remember this because they had been dyed. You know, like one was pink and one was blue and yellow. I don't know, but the novelty wore off very quickly. And I'm not indicting my parents here. That was, you know, this is a long, long time ago, and people didn't realize, you know, what a problem this was. So think about it long and hard before you do this for some child's Easter basket. Let's take another call. Phone number is 283-2525. It's Ask the Veterinarian. Caller, this is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Dennis Damon.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
I have a dog. He's part poodle and part King Charles. He's about, I'd say, 6 years old. What can you do about his breath?
Well, it depends. He's about 6 years old, so theoretically, when you take him to your veterinarian, he should examine the teeth and make pretty sure that part of that bad breath is not coming from plaque and tartar and abscessing teeth that are back in the back sides of their teeth area, not so much the front, but as you get behind the canines and going back, some of those teeth either start to abscess and cause that bad breath. Now, if he doesn't, if he has a good set of teeth and there's not much tartar there, then you could take things like you could brush their teeth, but you don't brush them like you brush your teeth or use toothpaste. You got to use doggy toothpaste and a doggy brush. Or you could take a terry towel and put your finger in there. And if your dog will allow you, take that terry towel and go in there and polish what you can polish of his teeth. That would be a good preventative. There's some other preventatives. If your dog likes to chew on things, you can get certain products that are kind of non-destructible items and have your dog chew on those things, which helps in cleaning of the teeth, too.
Okay.
But smaller dogs, such as dogs that are 30 pounds and below, have greater chances of tartar buildup, and dogs 30 pounds and above have less of a chance of tartar buildup because the fact that they like to chew on things. Now,
another thing, when he gets outside and he doesn't roll on anything, when he comes in, he stinks, like, from the air. And is there something like oils or something you can bathe in?
Does your dog stink all the time, or
just whenever he comes back in from outside? It's almost like he has.
You sure he's not rolling anything outside?
No, because I take him out on a leash.
Oh, okay.
Huh. How often should you bathe a dog, by the way, Dr.
Well, they can be bathed twice a month. If you want to bathe a dog without interfering with the oils and things like that. I don't really advise putting perfume or any deodorants on them because of the sensitivity of their skin to some of these products that are out there. I would just wonder, I'm not so sure I could say why he stinks when you take him outside. Most of the time our dogs go outside and come back in. We like the smell of their coat because they get the fresh air on it.
But we generally bathe our dogs. But this one is not that way.
We generally bathe our dogs twice a month.
Do you use something special?
No, we take them over to Whispering Winds and let them bathe them. You can do it yourself, although ours is like a Great Dane and a pit bull, so our showers don't quite size with the animal. So we have to wait for summertime and then bathe them outside if we were going to bathe them. The other thing is, if they lick themselves a lot, that odor that's in their mouth can get dissipated on their skin, too.
That's something to think about.
I would have, you know, in order to get a solution, you first should have the veterinarian look at your dog's teeth and make sure that there's nothing going on with the teeth, like tartar or bad breath from that, or there's some abscessation going on that can prevail bacteria on the hair coat and give that type of odor and things.
Okay.
Then go from there and maybe try bathing them twice a month and see if that helps. But if it's every day that he goes out and he comes back in and he smells horrible or he smells, I'm not so sure mm-hmm. where he's picking that up at.
I don't know.
Well, that'll give you a couple of things to check out anyway, caller. Yeah.
And thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. We've had some good questions today. 283-2525 is our number. Ask the veterinarian, 283-2525. Dr. Dennis Damon is with us here in the studio. 283-2525. Could it be something that a dog eats that could cause bad breath? I mean, you know, sometimes if humans have, a hot dog with everything on it or with onions or something like that. But dogs can't eat onions. That's very dangerous, isn't
right,
it?
Right, right. Dogs. And she would have to be feeding them. So she's probably feeding them the dog food, I would hope.
Yeah.
And but some people do make their own food for the animals. That's always a possibility of the food source, but you'd have to check out the food source and make sure if it's just general dog food, it should be okay.
More likely the teeth.
Huh? Yeah.
Let's take a break. We'll have more with Dr. Dennis Damon. When we come back, 283-2525 is our number to ask the veterinarian. 283-2525.
The JCPenney Sweet Sale is on. Bring your appetite for savings and shop this Thursday through Saturday. Unwrap your free JCPenney chocolate bar to reveal an extra 30, 40, or 50% off coupon. But come in early. Coupons are limited. While you're here, check out other sweet deals like 25% off select men's Nike apparel. If you crave to save, come to the JCPenney Sweet Sale. Coupon and offers valid 4/18 to 4/20. Giveaway available in stores only while supplies last. Must be 18 years or older. Nike and other exclusions apply to coupons. See store for details.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here, or here, or here! One of the nation's best savings rates, opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
If you're struggling to find a gym that's right for you, try the Fitness Center at Applewood Chiropractic. You don't have to be a chiropractic patient, and it's the only executive-level fitness center in Butler. Open 7 days a week, the Fitness Center provides a clean, safe, unintimidating environment with modern equipment, fitness classes, and a full-time staff to assist you. Call 724-283-8894 or visit applewoodchiro.com. Applewood Chiropractic Health and Fitness Center, Thornapple Drive, Butler.
Ask the veterinarian on It's Your Turn Today. By the way, coming up tomorrow, Howie Penteney will be with us. He's a wealth manager. We'll talk about how your investments may have done during the first quarter of the year. Can you believe the first quarter of 2019 is gone already? Wow. Howie will be with us tomorrow at 12:30 on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Dr. Dennis Damon is with us right now, a veterinarian. His practice is at Suburban Animal Clinic, Route 8, 5 miles south of Butler, at the intersection with Thorncrest Drive. We were talking about onions causing bad breath, but being very dangerous for dogs. Same thing for garlic, right? Garlic is very dangerous for dogs.
If they eat enough of it, it can be toxic to the animal. And I know a lot of times people think that garlic is got something to preventing fleas on animals, but the glands that are affected are in the webs of the feet, not all over the animal's body. Mm-hmm. So if the animal's standing, I guess he could be protected. But if the animal is laying, he's not protected because now the fleas have the ability to get up on the trunk of the body. Absolutely. Which means that they bypass the garlic glands.
There was a parvo virus scare at the Butler County Humane Society Animal Shelter a couple of weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they had to close the shelter, quarantine, and disinfect for, I think, about 10 days, close to 2 weeks. we had people wondering what the heck is parvovirus, and I made a mental note to check with you whenever you came in to see
Parvo
us.
Parvo is a virus that can be picked up. It's not actually, we vaccinate for it, but sometimes dogs are lapsed in their vaccines and things, and they will pick this particular virus up, which causes an intestinal upset in the dog, and generally your dog will develop bloody hemorrhagic diarrhea. And
fatal can be fatal if they don't
get, number one, they have to be rehydrated because they lose all the villuses in the intestinal tract, which do all the absorption. And if you don't put them on an IV drip and keep them hydrated and things, you could end up losing your pet to that particular virus.
From what I understand, and I was talking a week or so ago with the director of the Humane Society shelter, they're pretty sure that the parvovirus got in from a feral animal that was picked up and donated, which, you know, obviously had not been vaccinated. But I guess it's extremely contagious, especially in a like a kennel situation like that.
Yeah, because number one, you have to really, if you think about it, everybody that handles animals in that facility has to wash in between animals. Now, if you get a person that doesn't wash and goes over to the next dog and doesn't wash their hands or their gloves or disinfect properly and things, yeah, they carry that virus, and you can get a whole kennel coming down with a situation simply because of a Typhoid Mary that exists in your facility. So you got to be ultra careful, and you have to know hygiene rules and things in those facilities.
Well, they're all clear now. They opened up, I think, beginning of last week. They got the all clear, so everything's fine. But I just wanted to let people know what that parvo, I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Parvovirus.
Right? Parvovirus really is. I saw a story on, it wasn't on 60 Minutes, it was a feature on a TV newscast a couple of weeks ago about, and I'd never heard of this before, Dr. Damon, a dog chiropractor. Have you heard of chiropractic treatment for dogs?
Yes, I have. Matter of fact, I had a chiropractor at our clinic for about a two-year period, and he moved into the South Hills areas. But yes, they're able to practice on dogs. They have to kind of do it through a veterinary facility as opposed to at their facility because of the fact that dogs don't mix well with humans. So theoretically, they have to sort of be, if something would happen to the pet and things, be working underneath the jurisprudence of a veterinarian to, if an emergency situation would arise,
exactly.
They're there.
Is it the same general principle of manipulation of the neck and the spine?
Sure. I have seen things that, as any disease process that we have out there, sometimes in the human side and in the veterinarian side, there's just nothing that seems to help it. And so we kind of draw at straws to try to come up with something to help our pets or even help ourselves, and we try some of these weird things that are out there. And I'm not saying chiropractic medicine is weird. I'm just saying...
It sounds different when you first hear it.
If you go there to check an intestinal disorder, and you're there for a particular backache, and in the process of him or her manipulating the person and things, they find out that it actually helped another particular problem going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did that happen? Well, sometimes we, in the Eastern world don't understand, or in the Western world don't understand Eastern practices and things, and all of this stuff, chiropractic medicine, and there's acupuncture and things that come into the field.
Acupuncture for pets, really? Mm-hmm. Wow, I never heard about that.
And they can predict various zones and affect various zones and cause a disease or a particular problem to go away. And the Western world medicine couldn't keep it under control.
We see the same thing in some cases, at least, for human medicine.
And so I don't ever say things don't work. I say give it a try. Don't expect miracles, but miracles do happen.
Some dogs are more prone to back problems.
And Bassets are another one.
Well, folks, think about picture a wiener dog in your mind's eye. It's a long dog with a very long backbone, and you can easily see how they would be more prone to serious back problems.
Absolutely. And then the weight. Yeah, I don't know any dachshund that doesn't get 10 years of age and is overweight.
Really?
And you get a little sag in the back, and all that weight and things pushing down on their back causes them to have spondylitis, which is an inflammation of the disc spaces in the back due to weight, and eventually can cause disc disease.
I learn so much when I'm talking to you. So dachshunds, wiener dogs can get a beer belly is what you're saying.
Yes, sir. and it's because we as in America have an abundance for everything. So we have pets that don't want for much, but they get a lot of treats and things, mm-hmm. which, you know, Tippy's over there looking at you with these very sad eyes. It's almost very improbable that you won't give in and give Peppy or little Tippy his little treat for the day. And sometimes in them little treats is enough for a whole dinner in calories.
Especially if you do it day after day, day after day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be careful. Not too many high caloric
weight
treats.
Is always an issue with veterinarians because at least 75% of the animals that come to us are overweight, just like people.
Wow, 75%. Same potential health problems as in humans.
Absolutely.
With other diseases that have stemmed from obesity.
Mm-hmm. Weight always creates joint problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they staff four. We have two, although we have two legs. I'm talking about we have arms, but they walk on all four, so they get into some joint issues and some pain issues that are unavoidable if we keep the weight off of them.
Diabetes. I know pets can get diabetes.
From being overweight.
Yeah.
Cushing's disease is another one that is overweight. There's a lot of diseases caused by just the fact that they are overweight.
What was that other disease?
Cushing's.
Cushing's.
It's an adrenal problem.
Never heard of that one.
And causes a fat belly, thin skin, drinking of lots of water and things.
We'll take a break. I'll tell you what. Let's take one phone call before we go to a break. 283-2525 is our number. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
Hi there, Dave.
Hi.
This is Donna from out in the Conekanessing area. Hi
there.
Dr. Damon.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. Nice to hear you're back, and good to hear your voice again.
Thank you very much.
I was just wondering, I have a kitty cat, and she is very arthritic. And I was wondering if CBD oil would be of any help to her.
Well, you can give it a try. I can't totally say it's going to be effective because it works in some animals and it doesn't work in others.
Okay.
We don't know the dose and things, even though Sometimes you'll get somebody that'll tell you a dosage for them, but mm-hmm. there's not anything out there right now that has been studied long enough to tell us exactly that this dosage will work in this animal. But I know of some of my clients that ask me the same thing, and I say, try it and see what kind of benefits you get with it, and then give me a call. And some of the people that do eventually call back and things give me positive goes that it does work, and mm-hmm. others give me a call back and say it's not any better than some of the other things. So theoretically out there, it's still something that totally we don't have a handle on in veterinary medicine, and it's becoming better because it used to be when CB oil came out, it used to be that it was a hush-hush, don't use it, you could lose your license type thing because of the fact that it's marijuana or marijuana associated. But it's a little bit more lax now. We still don't have the approval yet, but I know people have access to it, and they are going to try to use it. I have not seen it affect the animals as much as I see it being abused on the human side. But that's eventually what we have to worry about is the is there an abuse level and things like that. So my opinion is try it and see if you get it to help, because cats are probably one of the animals that's hardest to control pain in. There are some medicines that work very well on the western side here, we don't have a handle on pain control in cats as well as we do pain control in dog side.
Hey,
thank you. I appreciate that, and I've been trying to figure out if there was something there that I might be able to do, just because I know that the arthritis is there,
mm-hmm.
And that would help her. We've tried glucosamine, and that really wasn't.
No, it doesn't work as well as it does on the dog side. Some of the other things that were don't work as well. So I would just tell you to go on trial and error and use a little bit. In other words, if it said that 4 drops a day, my opinion would be start off with the lowest dose and work your way up before you go to high dose. That way, if you have a reaction or anything, you have control over it to a certain degree because you're using a low dose.
Right. That makes sense.
Thanks, caller. Good question. I appreciate you joining us today.
Sense.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you both. Have a great day.
Uh-huh.
And you. 283-2525. Caller, go right ahead. Thanks for waiting, by the way. We appreciate your patience. Go right ahead. It's your turn with Dr. Damon.
It's only me, Dave Bird here. Hey, Dr. Damon, great to hear you again, man.
Yes, thank you.
Hey, pertaining to an aging German Shepherd, say 7 or 8 years old, and I'm not familiar with finishing those dogs off pertaining to their middle age on, I know they need some hide concerns. I heard rumor maybe about 1,000 milligrams of fish oil tablets every day if I could keep it on it. I'll hang up and wait for your answer, Doc. Good. Welcome back, man.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah.
The fish oil is something that I would approve of in older dogs because of skin. It is a great factor with skin, and it's also an anti-inflammatory. It aids in some joints, and also some digestive disorders too. If your German Shepherd is in and around 80 pounds, 1,000 milligrams is probably the right dosage that I would start him out on and see what he does with it.
All right, good advice. We'll take a break. One of our sponsors on the program today is Butler Motor Tours. Folks, they are ready to go now that the warm weather season is here. They have so many great trips planned for this spring, this summer, and into the fall. How about, if you're looking for just a one-day trip, maybe that's all the time you have or that's all the budget will allow, how about a Titusville Railroad excursion? Ever ride the Titusville Railroad north of Oil City? Great fun. Well, they're taking a trip up there June 15th. Also in late June, a trip to Niagara Falls, Canada. It's a three-day trip, June 19, 20, 21. Also in late June, a trip to New England, Maine, magical summer, beautiful state. In July, taking another trip to the Noah's Ark place, a very popular tourist spot. It just opened a couple of years ago. The Creation Museum is there, too. It's just over the Ohio River from Cincinnati in Kentucky. And, yes, they're taking a Branson Summer Show Tour as well. For details on these and many, many, many other vacation ideas, check the website, butlerbus.com. It's Butler Motor Tours, local company, been here for more than 75 years. Online at butlerbus.com, butlerbus.com.
Why does getting out of bed hurt so much? Medical marijuana may be your solution. Compassionate Certification Centers has already helped thousands to manage pain easily by calling 888-316-9085 or sign up online at cccregistered.com. You are eligible for your medical marijuana card. Anyone suffering from migraine headaches, back pain, joint pain, arthritis, or inflammatory diseases, you can get your medical marijuana card. Visit cccregistered.com or call 888-316-9085 today.
Concordia Visiting Nurses is a Medicare-certified home health agency offering services provided by healthcare professionals like registered and licensed practical nurses, physical, speech, and occupational therapists, home health aides, and many more. We also provide specialty services like palliative care and telehealth monitoring. If you're in need of home health care, choose Concordia Visiting Nurses. Call toll-free at 1-877-352-6200.
Dr. Dennis Damon, a local veterinarian with us from Suburban Animal Clinic, taking your questions today. I did not know when it was two or three callers back when woman was asking about CBDB oil for her arthritic cat. I didn't realize that was a marijuana compound.
Mm-hmm. It's a hemp compound.
Where, you know, that's available for humans now,
right,
in oil form. Mm-hmm. It's not smoking marijuana. It's oil, pills, and all sorts of other treatment with marijuana products.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it might help an arthritic cat.
Absolutely. Yeah. I always, let's say, it doesn't hurt to try things, but try them in modest amounts, because we're using something that isn't well tested right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just something new on the market, and it can cause adverse effects in some people as well as some animals.
I'm sure that veterinary research is ongoing
absolutely,
and many other areas too. Okay, we're headed into the summer season. Gosh, we're more than halfway through April now. This is, as of today, it's the second half of April. So be alert for the ticks. It most likely is going to be a banner year for ticks, a bad year for ticks. So be careful with your pets. Dr. Damon, my goodness, it's good to see you. It's great to have you back with us. I'm glad you're doing better, my friend.
Thank you very much. And thanks, Butler, for thinking about me while I went through my heart transplant.
Yes. Well, that's terrific. And we'll look forward to seeing you next time, which is probably going to be in June, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Hey, coming up, a couple of program notes. On tomorrow's program, Howie Penthony will be here. He's a wealth manager. We'll talk about how a lot of folks' investments did during the first quarter of the year. And don't forget tonight, it's Pittsburgh Penguin hockey here on WISR. We'll have live radio play-by-play of the Penguin game with the New York Islanders tonight. 7 o'clock is airtime for a warm-up. The Penguins must win tonight or their season comes to an end. They're down 3-0 to the New York Islanders, and the Penguins lose tonight. It's all over. So we've got the game here on WISR. Again, warm-up at 7 o'clock tonight from PPG Paints Arena for Penguin Hockey. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Hope you'll be with us tomorrow at 12:30 for the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.